Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
There wasn't a chance that Captain J. Hood were going to be here today, and that was before the weather. Welcome in. It's Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley. We're here until 10 a.m. Hope you're staying warm out there. And the temperature and the wind chill is no joke. Corey Seacrest already tweeted at us that cleaning off the car today is a little bit more of a task than usual, especially if you don't have a garage, obviously. Could have been worse, Jess. A dusting of snow. Earlier in the week, they're talking about a foot of snow, maybe more. But the wind chill, my car told me it was minus 10. I don't know if that's wind chill or actual air temperature, but I tweeted that out, and you'll see that I had a heated seats and a heated steering wheel, too. So I'm not complaining. I'm right down here in the Old National Bank studio on State Street and actually see people who work for a living going to work and bundled up.
Unlike us.
No, I mean, this is fun, and it's been fun forever. And
is this on? Anybody listening? Right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I was given permission to do the show from home because of the anticipated snowmageddon, which didn't turn out to be as bad. And this always happens, right? They say it's going to be horrendous, 6 inches, I mean, 6 feet, and it turns out to be 6 inches or less, right? So I stayed at home, and unfortunately, I can't see any of your tweets or anybody else's tweets because, thanks to DirecTV/AT&T, I have no internet in the home. And, Brian, the more important thing than the next 3 hours without internet is the next 24 hours because I have three kids and a wife here, and it's freezing out. There's no internet. We have to stare at each other. That's not good for any family.
No.
For any extended
period. That leads to family counseling on Christmas Eve.
Right. You're right. Internet or TV being down around Christmas leads to family counseling. That is a good sort of connection there. I agree with you.
Anytime there's a merger and they tell you how it's going to be good for the consumer, and usually not, because first of all, you know, try to get an actual person on the phone to
which
help
I
you out.
Did do this morning, but it was 6 a.m. That's when you have to make that call.
What time was it in New Delhi when you got through?
No doubt I had to. It took a while to be on the phone with this person. By the way, I love security. I don't like, but the layers of security, just because my internet's down, it'd be one thing if I'm trying to like add service. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not stealing. I want my internet is down. I don't care if someone else actually has my information. If they're getting internet, I'd like to know how they're getting it, even if they packed it. It took 8 minutes to get through the layers of security, and all they said is, "Yeah, it's cold. The internet's down for the next 24 hours or less." So I'm hoping it's or less.
Yeah, good
because
luck.
The last tweet I have on my laptop is Mike Kruko reacts to Carlos Correa news. My first thought was, what time do the dispensaries open?
Mike Kruko.
That was 3 days ago.
Was he an exec with the Giants? I mean, I remember when he was pitching for the Cubs. My brother actually had a pair of Mike Kruko cleats. Don't ask me. He got them at some charity auction. They're worthless. They were worthless then. But he liked Mike Kruko. So what are you going to do? And now, you know, the Mets decided they could, medical. Who cares about a medical report? Let's $300 million.
I'm expecting Trevor Bauer signs with the Mets in like 24 hours.
Oh, I mean, man.
It's a fait accompli at this point that somehow Trevor Bauer is going to end up on the Mets because Steve Cohen doesn't care probably about anything, but first and foremost money. But yes, if you didn't hear the news. Now, I actually kind of took the day off yesterday, Brian, in advance of snowmageddon. I went out and did some things with the kids.
You and everybody else. Yeah.
It was also my anniversary, so I had to do it. I had a lot going on yesterday, and I shut down from the Cubs could have traded for Aaron Judge, and I was not going to react to it. I just, you know, you need one of those days, right?
Yeah.
Shut it down, spent time with the family, and obviously my wife with our anniversary. And then so last night, I actually plugged back in because I know the show today. Somehow I forced myself to watch Zach Wilson, didn't really get much out of that. And then I see Trevor Bauer's been reinstated. The Cubs have a catcher. Like, I caught up on all this stuff for the show today. It was a lot of news yesterday, and it ended with Trevor Bauer. There was suspension was reduced to time served. He was still found guilty of all these things. The question, of course, for the next little while, for a lot of big markets, would anybody sign him? Is anybody going to sign Trevor Bauer?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And, you know, all the baggage that goes with it, and then the media circus that at least initially will follow him to wherever.
And the fact that he's shown no contrition, like he has not shown any remorse at all,
no,
really.
No.
He's been defiant. And to think of a press conference to sort of get a second chance, probably going to have to show some remorse in some capacity. And I don't know if he has it in him.
Yeah, and really, you know, how long has he been out now? I mean, how's his game impacted? And you know, what kind of pitcher is – how old is Trevor these days?
31, 32.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, look, all you're going to have to do is pay him the minimum.
Yeah.
So from a baseball standpoint, someone would take a chance on him. That's an easy call. But in terms of the publicity and if he could be a good teammate and a good – I mean, who knows? And should he be allowed? You know, there's that whole thing. It's a privilege to be a major leaguer, right?
Yep.
Should he be allowed? It's up to each individual team. I mean, it's called the free market. He's allowed to get a job. It's just up to the 30 teams if they want to give him one.
And you know, you mentioned the Mets and the fact that money is no object. And if you're a Mets fan, it's great. If you're a Cubs fan, at least, you know, you're happier this week. I am, you know, because we talked about it.
Sure.
Last Saturday when we were doing a show, and I'm like, you know, it'd be nice if they at least get the last shortstop of the top four standing, and they did. So, I mean, I felt better going into the holidays. But can the Mets, can they be the sole reason they go to a hard cap in MLB? I mean, or to at least accelerate the conversation? Are we going to see an NFL-type cap at some point other than just the luxury tax and repeat offenders and, you know, the onerous money you have to pay if you decide to do what the Mets are doing?
I think that the conversation is going to open up in that direction in some and go in various directions. Sylvie likes to say, Jesse, you're an I told you so guy, and I'm going to say I'm a told you so guy, because after the lockout ended, I kind of saw this coming in terms of the haves and the have-nots. You've heard me use that phrase if you've listened to the station at all. And part of it is, and the league was worried about this, Brian, raising the CBT without any sort of a floor was going to create even more payroll disparity. In other words, some teams will spend all the way up to $233 million, while the Pittsburgh Pirates continue to spend whatever they're spending. And then there's other teams like Steve Cohen and the Phillies and the Padres that will spend past the CBT, well past it. And so for various reasons, we've created a league of haves and have-nots, of super teams and bad teams. Maybe there's a few teams in the middle.
Very few.
Yeah, the Cubs might be considered one of those in 2023. And none of this really is good for the game. I mean, it's kind of happened in the NBA in different ways, right? We kind of seen this congregating of stars. And it hasn't, in my opinion, been great for the NBA.
No.
Somebody else might agree that it has, but you and I are old school. I think we agree it's not. And we're heading in that direction in baseball, and Steve Cohen is leading the charge. So I think what you bring up is going to be a conversation. And there are agents that were ticked off, Brian, that the union did not explore a salary floor along with the CBT, you know, levels at the top. And so I don't know what the answer is, but this over the next 4 years, it's going to be very 5 years. It's going to be very interesting where this thing goes leading up to the next labor agreement.
If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. That is the number here at ESPN 1000 here until 10 a.m. Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley. And I'll take you in the Wayback Machine talking about salary caps and salary floors. When I was covering the Blackhawks in the Dark Ages, it was the year they first moved into the United Center. So it was a lockout shortened season. I think it was 95. And Bill Wirtz was the main, you know, shockingly, was the guy pushing for a salary cap because he didn't like, you know, the Rangers or the Maple Leafs or the Bruins or whomever spending whatever they wanted to spend and making him look, you know, even worse than he looked in the city. And so the NHL finally adopted a salary cap, and they adopted a salary floor. And Bill Wirtz had nothing to do with the being told, here's the minimum amount you had to spend. So he ended up being the only owner voting against the salary cap because he was upset that he was going to have to spend X, whatever the number was back in the day, $32 million or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, lunch money now. But he's like, the hell with this, all right? But he, you know, he pushed to get the salary cap, and then when he was told you're going to have to ante up and at least, you know, make an effort, he said no thanks. But they end up, obviously, he was the only guy voting against it. But, you know, when a third of the league and pick a league is tanking and you know, intentionally or has no intention to compete no matter, you know, it's not a good look for any league.
Well, it's the only sport where the payroll disparity is as big as it is for obvious reasons, because they don't have a hard cap. And it's only getting worse. And that is just not good for 30 teams. For a 30-team league, that is not good. It's great in Philadelphia in 23. It's great in San Diego in 23. It's certainly great in New York, whether that be the Queens or Bronx in 23. Well, those are four places. There's 30. And competitive balance is... professional sports in general, is the only place where you want competitive balance, right? You don't care if this law firm is better than that law firm. That doesn't matter in the world, but some sort of competitive balance does matter in sports. But again, in those cities, in those few cities this coming baseball season, they don't care, but it's everywhere else that cares. The fact that the Mets have to play the Pittsburgh Pirates, first of all, who would go to that game? Right.
Yeah.
You know, who would go to that? And second of all, it's a joke when we know half the league is out of it and half the league certainly is in it. We don't know who's going to win the World Series. October is great when you have eight super teams. That's fine. I love October, but it's getting to October. That's going to look a little scary with what's going on here. And Steve Cohen is just kind of exasperating it. And I don't think as a fan anyone's upset with Steve Cohen. I think you're kind of upset with how this – you're upset with those other owners, the Pittsburgh Pirates owner, the Reds owner. You're also maybe upset with the system in place that allows this kind of payroll disparity.
Well, you know, the NFL, and obviously we're going to talk lots of Bears today. Courtney Cronin will join us before we get out of here. We'll the Bears, 8.5-point underdogs tomorrow, hosting the Bills. The Buffalo Bills didn't have to shovel their way out of the out of the city. The fans didn't have to show up and plow the players' driveways like they did a few weeks ago when they had to get to Detroit because the game was displaced because of an actual blizzard. But, you know, when you have your own plane, you're not standing at O'Hare in a line of 300 people trying to get the last middle seat of a connecting flight. So they got here last night, but, I mean,
yeah.
The Bears, 8.5-point favorites, and the game
dogs.
Time temperature.
Dogs.
Dogs. You know, game time temperature could actually be below 8.5. It could be 8 degrees or 7 degrees.
What's higher, the line or the temperature? That's a good one. I like
that, Brian. But, you know, for the Bills, it's probably like a spring day. I mean, that's
right.
They're used to it's bear weather, Bills weather. But the NFL, each year, at least historically, it's like 25% of the teams can go from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Yep.
And they have the hard cap, obviously, right? And so Pete Rozelle, all these decades ago, you talk about competitive balance. That's all he wanted. He wanted parity, right? He didn't want super teams. He didn't want the Patriots and Tom Brady to be inked into the Super Bowl each and every year. And it was all about trying to level the playing field. And that's not exactly the case anymore. But, you know, when you have that, I think, you know, at least most fan bases feel they have a shot. Or no shot, but I mean, they have a shot to compete each and every year because the division is and all that. But, you know, that has changed certainly.
I think it's changed some, but, you know, there's 32 teams. You can't have all 32 up for the Super Bowl every year. That's just not realistic.
Right.
But I think it's pretty, I mean, Tom Brady in New England was a unique scenario based on the quarterback and coach. It wasn't like things were favored for them because of money. You know what I mean?
It wasn't
just because Kraft was rich. They did a great job. I mean, it should come down to players and coaches, not dollars, right? I think we all agree with that. The fact that Green Bay's been viable for years is a great example. So I actually think I think his goal has been achieved over and over and over again, even though they had a dynasty in New England. So I think this is why the NFL, along with betting, is the greatest sport, because you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse. You're not stuck in some last place life for a decade because your owner is cheap, right? Yep. You might not be the top of the line because your owner's cheap, but you have a shot even if your owner is cheap.
And here in this city, obviously, the McCaskey family has been accused of being cheap forever. They're not that anymore. You can argue how well they spend their money, but they have certainly been spending it more often than not in the last 6, 7, 8 years. But you're right. I mean, when you have someone laser-focused like Bill Belichick, we're on to Cincinnati, I mean, he won't even entertain any questions that, you know, that they can't give a cliche answer to.
Right.
You know, that's how you get there, I guess, and begs the question of, with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, you know, how long does this take when you seemingly have the quarterback? We still, with the home stretch showing up here starting tomorrow, I don't, you know, with the wind conditions expected, I don't know how much passing there's actually going to be. You know, talking about the Patriots when they threw three passes up in Buffalo because of 30-40 mile an hour winds, and that's still the thing I want to see from Justin Fields. The next thing I know he can run, and I know he can run out of design or out of necessity, but I still need to see more. And right now he's got no one to throw to, and they're going to have their eighth iteration of an offensive line tomorrow with injuries, with right. Tevin Jenkins out and Cody Whitehair out. So, I mean, when you're, you know, 12, 13, 14 weeks into a season and you haven't settled on an offensive line, not that you're spoiled for choice with talent, it's interesting. I'd love to know what, from Bears fans who are heading to the game tomorrow, one, you know, what, you know, why or
do you have a screw loose?
Well, I mean, God bless you. If you're that dedicated Bears fan, I want to hear, you know, why you wouldn't miss this game. But what are you looking for in these final, you know, four games or so? We know Justin Fields. I know Rick Tellender wrote a column saying that basically the Bears should have, you know, benched Justin Fields just to protect his health because these games don't mean anything. And as we sit here today, they would be selecting second in the draft. And to a lot of people, you don't want to screw up your draft position. But if you could pull an upset against the Bills as an 8.5 point dog, I mean, you're on a 7-game losing streak and 8 of the last 9. At some point, don't you need a signature win? Okay. No matter your draft selection, just to make, you know, have a feel good and give Justin Fields and the guys in that locker room, you know, something to hang their hat on.
I know we have to break, so I'm just going to tease this and say something you said in there is one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to this Bears conversation. So I know everybody's going to be on the edge of their seat waiting to hear what this is. What's Jesse's pet peeve when it comes to this Bears conversation? But I agree with you. Let's dive into all these things when we come back. 312-332-3776.
I'm going to call AT&T during the break, all right? I'm going to call AT&T and work on this internet and here in the studio.
I can't get any stats. I don't know anything, which is par for the course for me. So I just have to wing it.
Back here on ESPN 1000 in just a few.
This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000. Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bow, bow,
bow, bow, bow. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
You know, obviously, we're very excited for the game. Saturday, you know, just a reminder to all the, you know, fans to be safe, you know, and traveling to and from, you know, the stadium and dress warm. You know, we know this is bear weather. That's exciting for us as, you know, the Chicago Bears, and looking forward to the competition and excited about the opportunity.
Nice little PSA by your head coach. They're excited. I don't know if they're excited. They might be excited for the competition. I don't know if they're excited for the weather. That's the part I don't believe.
Did he have to go say bear weather? I mean,
I'll take it for his word.
Okay. Matt Eberflus yesterday talking about the, you know, one of the headlines is the weather and what it's going to be like. And, you know, the Chicago Tribune listed, Jesse, the 10 coldest Bears games at Soldier Field in history. And I remember when I think it was like 1972 when the Bears were terrible. Bobby Douglas was running around the field and Justin Fields broke his record last week for rushing for a Bears quarterback. I remember being on the top row of Soldier Field and never being so cold in my life as like a 13-year-old. And I don't remember who they were playing, but all I remember is how cold I was. And then I was going down the list, and like three or four of those games, I was also the coldest games at Soldier Field. But I was there, but I was in the press box, probably having Heckey's barbecue. So I wasn't complaining.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the right spot in Soldier Field, you're going to enjoy it a little bit more than someone that's sitting outside tomorrow. 312-332-3776, the number. Rogers and Hanley till 10 a.m. Okay, so here's my pet peeve, and I want to hear from people on either side of this issue. But you mentioned Rick Tellender's column. Unfortunately, I don't have the internet, so I couldn't read it, and I took yesterday off. I unplugged. So between those two things, I don't know what he wrote.
Yeah.
But I heard what you said about it, and it's been a topic that's come up basically since – I think Fields got hurt, you know, injured his shoulder a few weeks ago. This idea of sitting him for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and they were stretching his leg out last, you know, week on the sideline. Yeah, okay. And you're like, oh, boy, you're holding your breath. Okay.
You're holding your breath. You're holding your breath. All right, Charlie's our producer. Brian, you tell me right now, the last quarterback off the top of your head, I don't have internet, so I can't look it up, that had a career-ending injury. Career-ending injury, last quarterback.
Joe Theismann?
Thank you. How many years ago was that?
Oh, good Lord. I still have that image seared in my head, though.
I know. Yeah. Right. It doesn't happen very often, especially nowadays, the way they protect quarterbacks. Something flukish would have to happen. They don't happen very often. The man is paid to play quarterback. The man needs to improve. The way you improve is by playing.
I'm with you.
I make this exaggerated joke during preseason every year as well. Now, the caveat here is, other than Yurko, who must have been smoking something from the dispensary, no one here thought the Bears were going to the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl, right, Brian?
Correct. Over-under in Vegas was 6.5 wins.
There you go. So with that in mind, meaning most of these games were going to be about development, this is the same argument I make about the preseason. What's the difference between Game 1 and Game 15 or Game 3 of the preseason and Game 2 of the regular season? They're all the same. They're all the same. Okay? Playing in the preseason, oh, you can't do that because game one is so much. No, when you have a team that's not going anywhere, the games are all the same. They mean the same. Play in the preseason, play in the regular season, play until you get better. And the way you do that is to keep playing and keep playing. And you know what? If tomorrow he has a season-ending injury, well, it's the same thing as not playing at all, because he'll have the whole offseason to recover and he'll be fine. A career-ending injury is a different story, but you know, if you play, or if you don't play because you're scared of injury, or you play scared, you're going to get injured. Like, there's nothing you can do about that. So all these games are the same, Game 1 and Game 15 and Game 7, because you are never going to the Super Bowl anyway. So enough with this sitting. What is going on here? You don't sit, you play. If you are healthy enough to play. So I'm tired about hearing about these, reading about these columns and hearing this from fans. You get nothing from sitting. And if you're supposed to sit after, why not sit after five games then? Why are we picking now to sit? Because three games left, you can't learn? BS. You can learn every time you take the field.
312-332-3776. If you want to take the other side of that equation, I'm with you, Jess. I mean, this whole season was about the development of Justin Fields to the point where, certainly in the last half dozen weeks, 7 weeks, we've seen a different quarterback, and given some time and given a little bit of talent around him, we've seen, well, now he's the running quarterback, right? But it was all about seeing that arc and how quickly you can get there. And I was hoping that you would have a pretty good handle by the end of this season on whether he was the guy or not. And you know, you can't take 3 years. Maybe you have to go through another season to make that, firmly make that decision if you're Ryan Poles.
No, come on. He can't be taken. If he's not in, Chicago's all in. Yes, there's some of his game that needs more work. There's no doubt. But we're seeing another aspect to his game. We didn't even see it at Ohio State because he didn't need it. Now let's combine the deep ball, which we did see at Ohio State, with the run game, and then, of course, the biggest obstacle, the medium passing game, probably the most important one. That has to develop. But I think we've seen enough, haven't we?
Well, no, look, and to your point, and I was talking to Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago on Sunday about this, and what he wants to see, and I think what Bears fans want to see, start winning the games that are there to be won in the final 5-6 minutes of a game, right? And certainly before the Lions became one of the darlings of the NFL, that game here at Soldier Field, that was a winnable game. And, you know, as we sit here today, fans aren't necessarily wringing their hands about seven losses, eight in the last nine, seven straight, because you think you have the right people in charge moving forward. I didn't foresee a seven-game losing streak with this administration, but I didn't foresee, you know, that Roquan Smith being traded and Robert Quinn being traded. I thought they were going to, you know, not win seven games, but I didn't think they would lose seven straight. But
it's a different. You made that assessment on day one of the season's right. training camp. It's a different team. It's a different roster. Yeah. And I don't just mean injuries. Everybody has injuries. But legitimately, they stripped their defense.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about the seven game. I'm with Sylvie on this argument. Don't worry about any of that stuff, learning to win, seven games. When the personnel is there, when they are ready, they will win. They're no that like any NFL team. They'll get there if they have the right personnel and coaching involved. I asked this of John Greenberg from The Athletic two nights ago when I was on. Have you, without knowing anything that's going to happen in the offseason, have you seen enough from Poles, Eberflus, and Fields to think a year from now, we're not going to be talking about any of this stuff? We're going to be talking about the possibility of the playoffs.
And throw Luke Getsy in there, because a month ago, everyone, you know, the stories were being written that he's going to be a hot commodity for a head coaching job. And believe me, I believe the Broncos wish they had him back in the interview room and didn't let him get out of the room because of the way their season
transpired. I bet Green Bay would, too, frankly.
Wow. Maybe. Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, I bet he would want
at least the old offensive coordinator back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Aaron Rodgers might. That's interesting.
Quarterbacks coach. He wasn't the offensive
coordinator. Right, no, he wasn't play caller. But, you know, I know the season's gone horribly for the people up in Green Bay, and they're not used to that. We are, unfortunately.
Right.
But Luke Getsy may, in fact, be not only interviewed but hired by a team in the offseason. But, hey, you know, at least – If for the most part you believe you have the franchise quarterback, you know, you're better off than the Jets, right? Because we've been there. He's now Mitch Trubisky, the second overall pick. Zach Wilson, put back in there as a starter yesterday for the Jets and benched and booed. And now all the headlines in New York are the Jets are done with this guy. You got to move on. What a wasted pick. How much does that set back the franchise? And we lived it, right? I mean, the fact that the Ryan Pace moved up and gave away the farm to San Francisco to move up one spot because right. he thought teams were going to, you know, make a beeline for Mitch Trubisky. And they didn't, and he did, and he lived with it, and it set the Bears back how many years?
Exactly. Now it set the Jets back, and the Bears think they have found theirs. So let's build around him. Let's not question him. Let's take those talents and take him to another level. Speaking of Zach Wilson, my buddy Seafood Dennis, I quote him often on this show. He's my football muse when it comes to football thoughts. Here's the question he wanted me to ask today. Was there any day in Zach Wilson's life from preschool to today that he was a better quarterback than Justin Fields? And it doesn't sound like it or feel like it or look like it, right? And yet he was taken where he was taken, Fields was taken away. It's amazing how they get these things wrong. You know, the experts, the smartest guys in the game still get these things wrong. Zach Wilson is pretty bad.
We'll take a break, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Take your phone calls. 312-332-3776 is the number. Dial it up. You got Jesse Rogers, Brian Haley until 10 a.m., ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Have you been hoodwinked? Join Cap and Jay Hood Tuesday at 7:35 for Hoodwinked. Hoodwinked on the Cap and Jay Hood Show is brought to you by Lou Malnati's Pizza. Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's been like just too many times this year where, you know, I felt like I've gotten hit late or something like that, and there's been no flag, so I mean, I'm going to be on the refs, like, you know, like just, you know, looking for a call. But, you know, when I think it's a flag, then, you know, I'm going to, you know, ask the ref. And, you know, on Sunday he said that he didn't think it was a foul. But, I mean, I'm just going to, you know, be begging for those calls and just hope that I get, you know, one in the near future. So, yeah.
That one specifically, though? When you
I mean, I thought, you know, I don't know. I felt like I was down, and then I just felt a 300-pound guy, you know, coming back. So I'm like, well, pause. But, I just got to I don't know. Just gonna ask those refs for those calls. But yeah.
That's Justin Fields, and Rick Talender is out there somewhere, Jesse, saying, see, a 300-pound guy is going to land on him, and you're going to be sorry. He's going to be out. You shouldn't play him.
He's going to be out for what?
Rest of the season.
If you want to sit him, that's the same as him getting hurt and being out. The only difference is he feels the pain of being hurt. But either way, he's out as long as it's not career-ending. So the idea of sitting him to avoid injury makes no sense to me. Because you don't want, you're avoiding injury so he doesn't sit out, but then you're offering him to sit out.
Yeah, and look, every snap he gets is a snap that's worthwhile for development. But, you know, he is correct. Justin Fields talking about, we've seen time and again and game and again where obvious roughing the passer. I mean, when you see some of these flags thrown for roughing the passer for just breathing on a guy, and Justin Fields seemingly for us watching him and the Bears week in, week out, you think, boy, he doesn't get many of those calls, and he feels the same way.
I'm a little torn. Obviously, I'm a Bears fan, supporter, love Fields. Little torn, though, because I do think, and this is partly unfairly, I do think quarterbacks that run a lot aren't going to get as many calls probably because refs are sort of, I don't know, unconsciously, they just are assuming and accepting of this guy who is going to run a lot. So he's going to take some hits. It's not fair. They should still be watching it. But also I feel like you make your bed, you got to be careful in it, so to speak, if you are running quarterback. So I agree. The cheap shots should be called. But I also think, like, the more you run, the more you risk things. And that's why I think we all agree there needs to be a good balance between his running and his throwing. And right now it's heavy run because they don't have much of a passing game.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of all this, sorry, Brian, I want to ask you, I thought there was some chatter before my internet went down. Like, do you think he should have been a Pro Bowler? Should have made the Pro Bowl?
You know, the first half of the season, the first third of the season wasn't all that. I would like to have seen him get that recognition, but he's a different quarterback, and the offense is different. I mean, they doubled their point production the first 6 weeks of the season. They're barely averaging 15 points a game, right?
Yep.
And now they're up to around 30 points a game. So there has been a transition, and pretty stark at that, at least for what he's doing and how they're putting points on the board. But in totality, probably not to answer your question.
Yeah, I agree. Probably not. I mean, you pause for a moment because if he ends up breaking the single season rushing record for quarterbacks, you're like, well, how does that guy not make the Pro Bowl? Like that, he's already broken the single game record, but. That's just, you can't just look at that as in a vacuum. First of all, you have to look at the other quarterbacks that he's going up against. And also, this has almost been by necessity he's had to run this much because they don't have much of an offense otherwise. And that's partly because of his game, you know, not all because of him, but his passing game isn't fully developed and they don't pieces around him. So I agree. He probably doesn't deserve it, but at least we paused and thought about
it. Yeah. And look, I'm some people say he deserves it because he's had no one to throw to and, you know, Charlie Bevins. By the way, if there was a game ball to give out, and I think he'd rather have money, and Danny Zetterman should give him a bonus. Our producer, Charlie Bevins, you want to talk about commitment? The guy slept here last night to make sure that he was, you know, because he was worried that public transportation wasn't going to get him here in time to produce our show. I mean, the guy's sleeping on two beanbag chairs pushed together. And so God bless him. But, I mean, when you start talking about commitment and things like that, Justin Fields has done what he can without anything. I mean, I wanted to see Chase Claypool, and Charlie asked, you know, what do you want to see in these final few games other than Justin Fields? And I wanted to see more of a passing attack. And now you have, again, the eighth variation of an offensive line, and you've got the wide receiver they traded a second-round pick for that I wanted to see more of, and everyone did. And by the way, he wanted to see the ball more. And now he's not available either. So, I mean, you could make that argument for Justin Fields that he should be a Pro Bowler given what he's done and the numbers he's put up without anything around him.
Yeah, you could, like I said, you can say it out loud, and then you've got to quiet down after that. They're 3-11.
Yeah.
3-11 quarterbacks don't make the Pro Bowl.
Seven-game losing streak, yeah.
I mean, as many rushing yards as he has, that's how few passing yards he has. And right now, he's not a quarterback that makes receivers better, right? Like, you know, you could take a mediocre receiver and make him great with a great with a great quarterback. So I wouldn't put him in the Pro Bowl, but I have no problem saying he's on the upswing, and a year from now he might be in it. And I thought you were going to praise me because I slept 100 feet away from where I'm broadcasting right now. Yet you're praising a guy that slept down in this. No, you're right, Charlie. Amazing that he showed up. We were allowed to maybe work from home or whatever, but the producer can't. He's got to be there,
right?
Because someone's got to hit the right buttons for me to get on the air, and it's Charlie. So thank you, Charlie, for the service you brought to this show today, much bigger than Brian or I.
Yeah, and I'm sure that right now, you know, there'll be a little something extra in the holiday envelope. Sure. Knowing radio, that's probably not going to happen.
Well, I mean, Starbucks is open late, so he's definitely going to get something from me on that count, no doubt about it.
312-332-3776 if you want to join the Bears conversation. Are you heading out there tomorrow? And if you are, I know you're not. You're soft as, you know, tissue paper.
Soft as they come.
Yeah. Look, and I'm, you know, I'm reading in the Tribune, people, like, it's a family tradition. They wouldn't miss it for anything. The corrugated cardboard box or cardboard pieces in your shoe, that apparently is a thing. And look, when your feet get cold, Charlie, by the way, called me yesterday or texted me yesterday and said, by the way, a little cold here in the State Street studio. And just a heads up, it might be even colder this morning. So I put two pairs of socks on.
Wow.
I was channeling Les Grobstein. And it's fine, but you know the cardboard. I've never done the cardboard in the shoes, but no. I know when your feet get cold and your hands get cold, you're miserable, right? And Charlie was telling me that you can't bring cardboard into Soldier Field. Is that a deal?
It was something like that. And then on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, we had a caller say that what he does is they buy the pizza because the Connie's comes in like a cardboard box, and then that way you have cardboard to stand on.
Oh my God.
After
now you have tomato sauce on your feet.
And I think they eat the pizza, presumably. But
I mean, Brian, if it hasn't been done like every minute of every hour this week, what is your trick to stay warm if you're going tomorrow, or just in general when you go to cold weather? What's your trick? I'm one of those guys that, you know, forgets. Even though I got nothing up top to protect me, I'm like, oh, I forgot my hat. Damn,
right.
I forgot my, like, I always forget something where my wife is ready to go. She looks like a space alien the way if we go to a cold weather game. So what's your trick, folks? Tell us to stay warm if you're going tomorrow. It's finally here, the possibly the coldest game, and it's between two teams that, you know, kind of have been used to it, but maybe not this cold, Brian. Maybe not this cold.
And look, I you know, most of my life I haven't been a hat guy. I mean, I just, you know, other than...
You got protection, unlike me.
I got a little bit left.
Yeah, but
I mean,
not much.
Baseball caps and whatever back in the day when I was doing morning drive, you know, on a regular. But you know, you got to have ear coverings, right? And, you know, Vaseline and it's something, you know...
Yeah, so those little things I'd forget. That's a good one.
Yeah, I've never done it. I remember Tom Coughlin having a jar of Vaseline on his face. I think it was a Lambeau, right? And I remember covering a game at Lambeau, the Atlanta Falcons, in a playoff game up at Green Bay. Actually, I think they won that game. It was Michael Vick. But it was the snow was coming down. It was New Year's Eve. And it was, you know, here's the indoor team from Atlanta. And by the way, with the Bears' new stadium, you know, you're going to have a dome. You won't have bear weather to deal with, right? I assume we're going to have, if not retractable roof, we're going to have a dome.
Can they build that by tomorrow?
Yeah, no, I mean...
So, I mean, Charlie brought that up pregame, 312-332-3776. I mean, have you rethought just your in general thoughts on a dome, whether it be in Chicago or any of these cold weather cities? I kind of joked the other day, Brian, on the air, like, I feel like every I don't know, even playing fields, so to speak, everybody should be in a dome or nobody should be in a dome.
Hmm.
Although not being in a dome in Miami is not the same as not being in a dome here, but I feel like football should be played sort of... in equal conditions in some sense, either everything inside or everything outside, and dealing with whatever your city's conditions are. Down in Miami would be humidity and sometimes rain and whatever. Up here would be the cold and snow. If you're going tomorrow, you probably want a dome.
Ditka used to say that it wasn't cold and wind and snow that bothered the Bears. It was going down to Miami and adapting. Right. I don't know, because it was South Beach, or I assumed it meant because of the humidity and you were gassed.
It's the only game they lost, right? It's the only game they lost that year. So,
well, we'll come back. Take your calls, 312-332-3776. You're heading out to the game tomorrow. Tell us, you know, what preparations. I see some people say tailgating goes on no matter. And, you know, maybe just double down on the chili or whatever, the booze, whatever you're doing.
Stick your hand in the grill or something. I don't know.
tell us what you're doing, because, again, 8.5-point dogs, the Bears are, and the game time temp might be 7. It might be actually lower than the spread. 312-332-3776, back on ESPN 1000 and a few.
Cap, and Jay Hood. Mornings on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Captain Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Here, ESPN 1000, Captain Jay Hood. You got Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley filling in for the guys this morning. It is cold out there, so be careful. Tip of the cap, driving down here to the old National Bank Studio, 190 North State. Streets in sand out there. Saw plenty of trucks salting the main roads here in the city. The expressways were pretty clean. Again, we could have gotten up to a foot of snow, as they were saying earlier in the week. Dodged the major snowfall, but the wind chill is obviously something you have to deal with, so be careful out there, and especially if you're cleaning off your car, whatever you're doing. And if you're heading to the Bears game tomorrow, tell us what precautions you're taking, and have you been out there in something like this before? And at what point do you just say, the hell with it, it's just, you know, just cold, I can adapt to it? Have you ever, Jess, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, but... Mm-hmm. As a fan, do you remember? I mean, I remember actually going to a Bears game at Wrigley Field with my dad
when I was like, "You are old."
Yeah, I know. Like when I was like 8 years old or so. I barely remember anything about it, but I remember it. It's been a while since we get pampered and we sit up there in the press box. But you know, the guys taking their shirts off and getting on TV, you know, I don't get that. You know, I'm not a face painter either, but I do applaud the people who make an effort.
You're not like Putty?
Yeah, Putty from Seinfeld.
Isn't today Festivus, by the way? I can't remember. What
for the rest of us. I was walking in my neighborhood, and there's a shoe store, and they have a chalkboard out on the sidewalk, and they always have funny sayings like, you know, mm-hmm. things I used to hate as a kid, I like as an adult, naps and spankings. and the other day they had one, and it's the store I think is called City Souls, and yesterday was wishing you a happy whatever doesn't offend you, and that's pretty much where we are these days, right?
Totally. Yeah, I respect people that go out there as well. And you know, the other question is how long do you actually stay? I guess if you're going to take the effort to get out there, you stay for as long as you can, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of halftime. Like, I've had enough.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the actual attendance is.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be full, three-quarters full, and then by halftime, depending, you know, if the Bears are in the game and they've been giving teams a game of late, we'll see. Omar's in Melrose Park.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Hey, Omar, what's up? You're on ESPN 1000. Omar.
Well, Omar going once, twice. Omar's gone.
Hey, Omar, what's
Omar's
up?
Omar's back.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
About the keeping warm, especially your feet. If you crumble up some newspaper, stuff it in like a Jewel Osco bag, and put your foot in there, and then put a sock on top of it, I bet that keeps it real nice and toasty. I've tried it before, and I actually was sweating after a game.
See, as a former newspaper writer and sports writer, I really hate to think that, you know, that's where Joe Colley's columns end up. But, but you know, it's multi-purpose and repurposing, and it's good for the environment, too. So appreciate the call, Omar. Instead of the cardboard, why does it have to be corrugated cardboard?
I don't know.
But people who do this, that they say it has to be corrugated. Paulie is in Mount Prospects. Not singular, not plural. There's only one. Hey, Paulie, what's
Illinois.
Up? Illinois. Hey, Paulie, what's up?
Hey guys, I think I'll call it in the cover. First of all, you guys have some of the best young guys covering you between Charlie and Tyler and
Jake.
All the other guys that help you guys out. I just want to call them out because they do a great job. I don't think they get enough credit. I also want to say, as far as like just keeping warm at the game, I went to the Packers Bears NFC Championship game, whatever, it was 12 years ago. And, like, they have, like, these little heat packs that you just, like, pop open.
Oh yeah,
and those things are fantastic. So that would be my advice to anybody going to get them tomorrow.
Now, but you have to be careful. You can't put them just anywhere, right? You have to be careful. Yeah,
correct. But Hanley, I love you too. I love you. You and Xander, your sarcastic nature makes me laugh all summer long with your little takes on the stocks and stuff like that. And Jesse, you do a great job too. So I just want to say you guys all do a great job. Happy holidays. Happy year.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Paul. Yeah, stay warm out there, and thanks for making the call today. 312-332-3776. Yeah, Mark Xander knew to get the hell out of Dodge. he took an offer to, you know, his love, his passion, and you know, his forte is
rock and roll.
And he's running a couple classic rock stations in Chico, California, and other Northern California. Immediately when they had the earthquake the other day, I went and Googled where Ferndale tonight, and and he was like 5 hours from there, so I didn't text him to see if he was okay or, you know, they were dealing. That's one thing, the idea of going, and he said he's leaving all his winter clothes here. He was happy to get out of here before the winter really set in. But, you know, I'm watching a guy plowing snow in front of the Chicago Theater, and you can dress for the cold like people will do tomorrow at Soldier Field. The whole earthquake, mudslide, wildfire thing, the idea of California always seems to appeal to me, and then, you know, I see the earthquakes and the wildfires.
Yeah, well, my wife always says, trying to, you know, justify why we still live here in this weather is Florida gets the tornadoes. The hurricanes sometimes tornadoes, and California gets everything you just said. We don't get any of that. Yet we get this.
Yeah,
we get this, which is not life threatening. Well, it is, I suppose. But you know, if you have a home, thank God, and heat running, it's not life threatening. But down there, those things are. But we still can't, like, do anything, and I don't have internet.
Well,
because
you know,
of this weather.
Yeah, again, AT&T's got you on hold. I remember working the morning of the Groundhog Day blizzard, where all the Lakeshore Drive, whatever they're calling it these days, was a parking lot. I mean, cars literally were parked. You could get bumper to bumper, and they were there for a day and a half because you couldn't get out off the road, right? And people were either staying in their cars or abandoning their cars. And we had thunder snow. I remember the guy on the Weather Channel was like, "Do you hear that? It's thunder snow." And it was a thing. And I took public transportation down to the NBC Tower, did the show, took the subway back, got off at my stop. And there was, I mean, no one was out. And there was like a foot of snow. And I was walking down the middle of the street because there was no traffic. And one of Chicago's finest pulled over and, you know, like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "I've got another mile or so to get to my house." He goes, "Hop in, I'll give you a ride." We got to, like, the end of my block. I was about 2-3 blocks away. He's like, "This is as far as I can get. You won't believe this, but these SUVs the police have, no front-wheel drive." He's like, "If I go down there, I'm going to get stuck." Really? Your emergency vehicle and you don't
How are you saving lives if you can't get everywhere you need to get to?
I mean, what daily cousin had that contract that they were saying, you know, they were banking money by not giving the SUVs with front wheel drive. I mean, can you imagine being a first responder? I can't go down there because there's too much snow.
Well, I wonder also, Brian, how many people are coming in from Buffalo? I mentioned my buddy Seafood Dennis. He has season tickets. I said, "Are you going?" And he said, "Are you kidding me? I sold my tickets to Bill's Mafia. They can have them."
Wow.
So, but how bad and boring must your life be in Buffalo if you're coming here for this game? And maybe you're spending Christmas here as well. But, right?
Have you been to Buffalo?
What's that?
Have you been to Buffalo?
Well, yes. That's what I'm saying. How bad and boring must your life be?
I know. Have you been there?
I have been there.
Yeah, I was with the Blackhawks. I'll give you a couple of Buffalo stories when we come back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You pick this game, like, you know, you're spending thousands to come to your hotel, and you can't even walk outside, you know, downtown today or tomorrow, other than to go to the game. You're not walking Michigan Avenue in this weather, what I'm saying.
Right? And I think it's the Anchor Steam Bar in Buffalo, overrated for the original chicken wings. 312-332-3776. We need to talk a little bit Buffalo when we come back. ESPN 1000.
Make fun of them.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.